Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting on AmericanFreedomRadio.com live. This hour I'll be doing it solo ono. And so if you want to call in and chat with the Vinmeister, Vin Cheezel, the Vinnie Man, Mr. News, Vinnie Eastwood, the number is 218-339-8525. Just call in, have a chat. If you're in the US, that's a lot easier than being from New Zealand and calling that number because it's quite expensive, especially if you're on some of the old telecommunications rates that are still memorized from my days of being a telemarketer who basically made a massive dent in the in the pockets of incredibly greedy telecom companies by showing people a better way. Or at least that's what I thought I was doing at the time, until they fired me for doing the right thing. Anyway, that's the story of everybody, isn't it? Now, I'm going to be on a show after this, if you are listening live, with Keith AZ on Revolution Radio, right after this. I think it's like Studio A or Studio B, figure out which one. And that's going to be fun. But in the meantime, I was did a little bit of searching. You know, sometimes you want to see what's being said about you. You know, it's a narcissism thing, and you know, I don't make any excuses for it. I love it. The Len Brown stand down protest. Right. Let me just give you a backgrounder. New Zealand, little country. They have this city motif that is known around the world as the primate city motif. What that means is your biggest city is at least 2 times as big as your second biggest city. So that becomes kind of your center of commerce by default, right? It's usually because it's got a port or something like this. It's the same model around with countries and towns and villages throughout the United States, or some of them. And what's happened is, they go, okay, there's 1.4 million people living here, $42 billion worth of public assets. And the bankers go, you know, we want that. And considering we're on all three of the powerful roundtable groups, and we're talking about Australian banks here, like Australian Savings Bank, otherwise known as ASB, Westpac Bank, which the government actually does its banking with, ANZ, you know, just basically Australian-owned New Zealand front banks, more or less. And then the member of all these really powerful committees, like the Business Roundtable Group, the Institute for Infrastructural Development, along with a lot of big telecom companies and things of this nature, the big corporate players that you would expect to be in a secretive roundtable group making all their decisions, kind of like a mini Bilderberg group. You know, they just sit there and masturbate to the Bilderberg dreams of theirs, you know? And what's really quite rough, and this is where it comes down to Len Brown, is that previously Auckland had a mayor named John Banks, who was, you know, embroiled in a lot of really nice. I've encountered the person a number of times. Not a one of them has been pleasant. He's just so dry. It's just so old. And he's not even that old. I just feel like I'm talking to somebody who was educated in the 1880s or something like that. Just this backwards, disgusting presence. You know, like you're in the middle of a Paranormal Activity movie or something like that. Like there's this kind of demonic entity next to you, and you can sort of feel it, and your heart's pounding in your chest, and you're scared as hell. You say. And so everybody naturally elected him as mayor because that's exactly what most people want in a leader, isn't it? You know, just get let's go for it. Like, and interestingly enough, when they're incorporating all of these public assets, about $42 billion, into these new organizations that they're carrying out, you know, in punctuated little question marks. And if you're listening from the United States, you know exactly what I'm talking about if you follow anything that goes on in your municipality. Because this is Agenda 21 Protocol AO. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what we're going to do? You know what the end game is? To control absolutely everything, man. Corporately. Ain't no elected representatives, no nothing. We just take the money off the people, using the government as a front, and funnel all that money into the private corporations that really run everything. Okay? That clear enough for you, boy? This isn't, you know, some kind of, like, flippant accident that every single major municipality in the Western world has either started to do this, has it already gotten done, or is planning on it. You know, it was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm sure everybody just, it must have been 100th monkey syndrome. Everybody goes, you know what, I really want a corporate freaking dictatorship that I don't have any say in, bro. You know, all pay, no say. I don't know how I came up with the idea, but suddenly I woke up this morning and there it was, you know, all pay, no say. That's just the proper way. I mean, corporations know better to do with my money what I do. You know, it's so much better for me to not have a freaking choice about it, or where I live, or how much money I get paid anything, or what kind of BS kind of laws that I have to somehow structure my life and bend it into. No, son. I don't want to do that kind of thing. So naturally, John Banks loses the election and a guy called Len Brown becomes mayor. Everybody thinks he's like a champion of the people because he's like a mayor of South Auckland. It would be like, you know, I don't know, somebody from the Bronx winning the mayoral election or something like that. Or somebody from Inglewood, you know, becoming mayor of Los Angeles. That kind of thing is like that vibe, like champion of the people. This is going to be great. And so naturally he blows out the budget by $10 billion in like one or two terms. Cha-ching! You know, in a place that's only got like $40 billion worth of assets. So he mortgages 25% of the city in two terms, bro. On top of that, he gets embroiled in this sexual scandal with this very young, very attractive Asian woman. And nobody cares about that, not in the political sphere. Nobody cares about a sex scandal. It's actually all about the policy for them, because sex scandals are dirty. They're gross. They tie you with a run brush, and they say that you're being nasty, you know, you're making it perverse. Think about their family and all of that. It's like, well, bro, why wasn't he thinking of his family when he was shagging that bird? You know, it doesn't it come with the territory, so to speak? Oh god, I hate accidental puns. I really do. I'm just disappointed in myself. So anyway, after this shaggin' wagon rolls on and everybody gets over the scandal, this protest comes out led by a you know, libertarian group of people from affordable Auckland. My name is Stephen Berry and Will Ryan, and they decide they're going to stage a protest. And Stephen and Will come to me, and they go, you know, we need to have a protest. And I know my man Barry, who lives out in East Auckland, who has a great sound system and a van and everything with the little things you can screw the speakers on the roof of the van, lead the protest. We had big banners, the whole nine yards. So did some brainstorming. Got it out there, and sure enough, there was a protest on, you know, 400 or 500 people allegedly, according to some sources, turned up. And you know what's really strange about it is although I really helped to kind of like put it on and led the protest march to it to a large degree and was like a MC extraordinaire, I felt like I kind of, I don't know, maybe damaged its credibility or something like that, or tarred the other guys with a brush, because this kind of encapsulating love of the establishment starts coming out in the media afterwards. Only the alternative media. I'm not sure if mainstream media even reported on the protests or whatever that was going down the central thing. But anyway, things of corruption came to be apparent in the ways that I've been explaining how they've been working, including money laundering that's being done in Sky City Casino in the middle of the city. that are involving the mayor, who got like 40 or something or some odd free hotel stays from them at a time when he was supporting their policy to enlarge their casino and get more pokey machine, more gambling machines, and so on and so forth. Just look. Let me just explain one very simple fact about New Zealand. The reason why it's on the second least perceived to be corrupt list by Transparency International is because we're the second best in the world at concealing how corrupt we are. Okay? Just let that sink in for a moment. This country is up to its eyeballs in scumbaggery. Pure as the driven snow. And it is a very colder winter coming. And when people come out to protest one of the puppets that is helping this agenda be pushed forward, they get ragged on by left-leaning alternative media, but based upon like this kind of BS paradigmal shift that if you're against a so-called socialist, so-called left-wing politician, if they categorize it as being that simple and innocuous, that the only reason for the protest is because of an ideological opposition and not any real facts or any actual corruption or documents that have been released or investigations that have been ignored or people that have been cast out of their house and home because of this person's actions. No. It's just because he's a left-wing politician. You're just a right-winger. You're just being mean to him. You need to leave him alone. He hasn't done anything to you. But he has done everything to the rest of the city, which has flow-on effects, which affects everything the way things run. And funneling the amount of money into disgusting corporate pockets. Right in the end of the pool table. All right. There's all your money, corner pocket. That's how it works. It's pretty straightforward. And somebody who facilitates such action at least deserves some attention for his scumbaggery. A protest or something of that nature. And I think one of the comments was, I've seen better attended chemtrail protests. You know who the only person who's like led chemtrail protests in this country is? It's me. You know? Well, I wouldn't say the only one. There's been plenty of other people who've ever helped to organise and done in their local area. Michelle Rhodes comes to mind. And quite a lot of people have actually shelled out money for a megaphone for me and a number of banners and things of that nature so that we can actually be well-equipped when we go out there and we do these things. I think maybe 20 tops is how many we got for... For one of them, but you kind of have to stand in awe of the power of a 100-watt wireless megaphone, though. So, you know, even though you've got 15 people and we're not even taking up the streets, it can be heard for quite a bit of a in every direction. But the kind of slanderous commentary that I see sort of frustrates me, you know, and it should be expected, right? Because everybody's got an opinion, and the problem with a lot of people is that their opinion is based on lies, misconceptions, arrogance, bias, brainwashing, mind control. Pick your poison. All of our brains are being poisoned by something. Some are being poisoned by fear. Some are being poisoned by false knowledge. Some are being poisoned by misinformation. Some by disinformation. To the point where it's almost predictable what kind of BS reactions are going to come out of people. Like, oh, I could see this coming. You know, it's like listening to a presidential candidate speak. And you know, oh... Let me guess. He's going to talk about jobs. He's going to talk about the economy. He's going to talk about how great freedom is and how we should support our troops and then vote for me. And he comes out and he says, we need to strengthen the economy. We need to get more jobs and we need to support the troops and we need more freedoms. Vote for me. And everybody goes, yeah! And you're like, And you know, like it's almost like you can't even do a singular face palm at those kind of frustrating moments when you need actually, you need a full two hands to just hold your face to make sure your eyeballs stay behind the eyelids and they don't explode out of your skull in a fountain of blood. With the rage inside and how easily people can be misled by some smooth-talking, predictably speaking, benign, narcissistic scumbag. Sweet mercy! Am I the only one who's kind of appealing to this kind of frustration? Appealing it back like the foreskin of a knob? Ah, it's just disgusting. And part of the burden of not ignoring reality is that you now have to deal with it. How do you deal with something so frustrating? How do you deal with a job this big? You need to expose the entire council, the entire roundtable groups that are controlling them, all the players as well as the political spectrum that dominates the equation. And you need to encapsulate that for somebody in 30 seconds or less, maybe even 7 seconds. That is impossible. Lies are real easy because they're simple, and you can just repeat them over and over again. The truth is unfortunately remarkably complex, because it's based on facts. Facts have to be researched. You have to read it in the document, and then publish it, and then get it cross-referenced, and so on and so forth. You've got to have like 3 or more different sources to back up even one little theory that you think you got. And one thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to read out this. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. You know, in fact, this is one of my favorite lines of all time. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Go ahead. The Len Brown stand down protest. You know, we have protest jars like, if it's brown, flush it down. Because like back in the day, I think when I was a kid, we all tried to save water. You know, there was a drought. It was in Auckland. It hadn't rained for like a week. And everyone went, oh, it's a drought. And you live in a freaky rainforest that somebody built in the middle of a swamp. You know, it's like you guys are just genius, aren't you? You got it sussed in the smallest connecting landmass in the whole freaking country called an isthmus. That's bound to work out just champion for the lot of us, isn't it? It's not going to be prohibitively expensive or spread out like even bigger than Los Angeles is. Which it is! Unbelievable. It's so crazy, this city. Anyway, it's getting worse. And this guy named Matthew Denteith. I don't know if it's pronounced Denteith, like as in, you know, teeth that you chomp into somebody with. Or if it's like just pronouncing the word dentist with a lisp. Hello, I'm Matthew, and I'm a dentist. But anyway, I go to his website, right? I don't want to disparage Matthew necessarily, but I think it will by proxy. Anyway, this is the title thing of his MO. Conspiracy theories... and theories about conspiracy theorists. You know? So you can see that you're going to get the repetition of this kind of thing a lot. And there was another broadcast where I talked about the propensity for PhDs to repeat themselves quite a bit or to come up with a lot of unnecessary words in order to fill out a sentence and bore you to death. Because, and this isn't because they're boring people or anything like that, many PhDs get over this and become amazing speakers and writers and whatnot. They're really thrilling to read. But some are in the 10,000 word thesis mode. Whereas you've got an arbitrary target of the amount of words that you have to say something in. If you're a genius, you can say a lot in a few pages. A lot. And if you have an arbitrary target to fill, it means that you get used to, or rather in many ways get programmed into, a unnecessary filler. It's just like, I can describe this in like 20 words or something like this, and average that I need per page is like a 1,000 or something. So I've got to somehow stretch 20 word understanding that I've got into 1,000 words. How do I do that? You know, try not to use as many syllable words, bro, you know? And don't bother proofreading, maybe. But I wanted to read this to you. Just as kind of an illustration of what I'm talking about what it is to be a conspiracy theorist who talks about the truth, goes out, does activism, and kind of really practices what they preach, and the difference between how we go about it versus how people like Matthew Denteith go about it, you know, that kind of thing. So he says, I'm not much of an activist, mostly because my primary goal is the elimination of the human species, and thus far you don't seem to need my help in achieving that. Now, I believe that's kind of like sarcasm, but it's just kind of like a waving ridicule in your face, right? So I'll keep reading on. Occasionally I go on to protest marches, but by and large I tend to stay at home, sigh about human nature, and then talk about my feelings with a bottle of Scotland's finest spirits. And his Twitter profile is actually just a bottle of bottles of booze that none of them are full. All right, they've all been almost drank down to the thing. Like, he's only got like a tiny bit left in the bottle just to say he's got a little bit there saving on, but he drank the rest, you know? And I've always found alcoholism to not be the greatest intellectual stimulant. That just might be me. Maybe there's some case studies on it that alcohol doesn't make you the sharpest tool in the shed. Anyway, which is all to say that if you met me at the Len Brown Stand Down March on Saturday the 22nd of February 2014, you might have been a bit worried. Worry not. I was there strictly as an observer, a dangerous task given that at least one of the organisers, Will Ryan, not only knows my face, but has outed me to a hostile crowd before. It's kind of like dangerous of being exposed. Now, if you're just there as an observer, me, I become kind of like the ultimate obtrusive observer, okay? I'm right there at the front, very, very clearly visible. And if you don't like me, you've got to have some nerve to come up and say something to me, because I'm just there. And I'm not, you know, dominating anything. I'm not speaking over the speakers or trying to disrupt anything. So, you know, what's the thing about, right? But I don't know. Horses for courses, I guess, in terms of your approach to going to cover hostile events. You know, my interest in the Len Brown Stand Down March was its interesting array of speakers. At least three of the speakers, Vinnie Eastwood, Will Ryan, and Penny Bright, are variously associated with the 9/11 truth movement, the anti-fluoride brigade, and are sceptical about the safety of the MMR vaccine schedule. I wanted to see if they could keep to script and just talk about Len Brown, or whether they'd end up lurching off into the messy reaches of their own particular conspiracy theories. They mostly didn't, which was a surprise. But more about that in a minute. So I get this kind of, remember how I just said about how you can see this coming? You know? It's not isolated to us seeing the lies coming. It also includes the liars seeing the truth coming, but thinking it's a lie. You understand? Because they've got the facts all twisted round. It's too much of some kind of brainwashing, you know? And brainwashing, very simple. I've explained it a number of times. Sleep deprivation, silo mentality, and appeal to authority, right? central authority figure, and that will basically make put you under mind control. How many people who are, you know, doing a lot of work at university get enough sleep? Very few, I'd say, because they got to work as well at the same time to get beer money, often working nights, some of them. So it shuts off that higher brain function. So you start to go into autopilot mode. You ever done that when you're real tired and you start driving home just after you've moved to a different place or something like that, and you start driving to your old house? You know, just that kind of autopilot kicks in. And it takes a while to correct it. And it's the same kind of thing with being educated, in my opinion. But, you know, what can I say? I only did like 2 years and then dropped out and then made 700 videos in the previous 2 years, whereas studying media at university, I'd made zero. So I wanted something that university wasn't able to give me. And if I was able to put $6,000 into equipment like cameras and computers and things of that nature, instead of $6,000 for a education, might be in a radically different spot, wouldn't you say? Even if the equipment was bought with debt, which is what the student one is. But it's a debt that has no object of value associated with it. If you buy a computer and a camera to make videos on, you learn how to do it, right? And ultimately, that's what you're going to university to learn how to do, isn't it? You learn how to use this equipment. But once you come out and you've got several umpteen thousands of tens of thousands of dollars of debt in it and no equipment, what are you going to do? You know, you're screwed. You just screwed yourself out of a couple of years of real work. You screwed yourself out of the purchase of really fantastic gear that you could have made stuff with. That's the difference between having a street education, like as I've had as an activist, versus a institutional education, which Mr. Denteith has had. So it's just the two different approaches, and it's not a question of judgment. Now, some of my foreign readers will be asking, so who is this Len Brown person anyway? Len Brown is the current mayor of Auckland, who was re-elected last year on a substantial proportion of the vote. Now, popularity doesn't necessarily mean that the person's a real good dude and a real good bloke. It just means that people don't know that he's a real bad bloke. Okay? And if you've got a compliant media, it's not that big of a task, really. You know? The little scandals and whatnot. And also the fact that the other guy's a crook. What are you doing? A mayor re-elected who's like a kind of like was elected initially kind of as a bit of a popular dude, right? And then the person he was running against previously in this next election turned out to be a bit of a crook and be going through like a whole bunch of legal stoushes and whatnot. So it killed his campaign, wouldn't it? And nobody else knew anybody else who was running. In fact, it was all left-wing candidates anyway. So what did you expect? It's like this completely unsurprising observation when you know the facts behind it. A week after he was re-elected, it turned out that the political advisor to his chief rival had been mud-racking and discovered that Brown had been having an affair, which was news to everyone, including his wife. The story then got very, very messy. The political opponent, John Polino, claimed he didn't know what his advisor, Luigi Wawiji, was there actually a dude called Luigi Wawiji? Because it was done in brackets, and I don't know whether or not he's being serious. Because if you're not being serious, you know, just for punctuation's sake, a misinterpretation, put in quotation marks to let you know that it's sarcasm, I guess. Anyway, despite the fact Polino had met with the person Brown had had an affair with shortly before the election, have you noticed how every kind of dick referencing article is just hilarious? You know, because you just come up with so many things. I don't know. Len Brown to me, it just reminds me of Soylent Green. You know, Soylent Brown. That's it. I can't get the word Soylent Brown out of my head. I've been thinking of the last couple of weeks. Soylent Brown, Soylent Brown. I'm thinking about Soylent Brown. It's the mayor of your city, bro. Being ruled by Soylent Brown. Questions were raised as to whether Brown had declared on the Register of Pecuniary Interests the hotel rooms he had used to conduct the affair in, and so forth. Certain members of the public thought the whole scandal was manufactured by the right to tarnish Auckland's left-wing mayor, whilst others said this spoke to character and that the mayor should resign. A report was commissioned which kind of said the mayor wasn't corrupt, but that some of his free hotel rooms or upgraded rooms were a conflict of interest, given he was deciding on laws and regulations which would have affected said hotel, and so forth. All in all, it was very, very messy, especially if you leave out about 90% of the other things that he's done, like the enormous increases in rates, the huge quantity of lies that he's told on record, the fact that he promised before his election that he would consult councillors about everything to do with the major plans of Auckland City, and then announced his big top 10 plan or whatever for the next 10 years. I forget, it was a big you know, list of big projects and stuff that he wanted to do. And guess how many councillors he informed before he released that to the media? Zero! Zip. Nada. There was no Mucho De Niro. There wasn't even a Robert De Niro. Questions were raised about whether Brown had declared on the Register of Pecuniary Interest that the hotel rooms he had used to conduct the affair in, and so forth. Certain members of the public thought the whole scandal was manufactured by the right to tarnish Auckland's left-wing mayor. I just love rereading this stuff, man. It's quite funny. You know, gloss over things and put your own taint on it. I get it. I enjoy it too. Whatever you might think about Len Brown and his fickle pickle, thanks to the critic for that particular term, it certainly has brought together a lot of people who are angry either at Len Brown the person or Len Brown the politician. A surprising number of the people on the march were holding up placards with messages about Len Brown's affair, whilst the speakers themselves kept repeating the refrain that I don't care about the mayor's affair. What I care about is, you know? Opposition to the Len Brown and opposition to the Super City are fairly hard to disentangle, especially since the mayor often looks, and admittedly acts, like he is Super City personified. Now, here's the thing. When you actually listen, okay, I don't know, I'm very different to other people. When people tell me something that I strongly disagree with ideologically, intellectually, or factually, I get hot under the collar, as most people do. However, what I prefer to do then is to just keep hearing them out. Because if there's actually something to it, they'll start linking things together and a pattern will start to emerge that they're not actually crazy. And sometimes you have to listen to a number of different sources about one particular subject before you start getting that idea in your head and your pattern recognition system that says that there actually is something here. It requires you to be open and honest with yourself and not judge other people before they speak, kind of thing. Just hear them out and all the way to the end. And if it still don't make sense to you, you probably need to listen again or investigate it to see if it's BS. You know, it's just some effort must be required in your intellectual or spiritual or whatever kind of evolution you need to undertake for it to be worth it. You have to sacrifice something. You have to give something in order to receive back. It's kind of the principle of the universe. And knowledge cannot be gleaned from ignoring those who possess it. Again, just my opinion. I could be wrong. Many of the things people are worried about and protested about are not issues to do with Len Brown's style of politics, but issues to do with the botched implementation, the Super City, i.e. if we're going to blame anyone, surely we should be blaming Rodney Hyde, who rushed the legislation through. Rodney Hyde, who at the time was the head of the ACT Party, which incidentally John Banks, the former mayor of Auckland who lost to Len Brown, became the head of the ACT Party right afterwards. Okay? and then we're going to blame these people. See, it's all part of the same fucking club. Incidentally, they all happen to be Freemasons. You know, coincidentally, you know, it's like we think Len Brown, John Banks definitely, and John Key allegedly are pretty high-level Freemasons in New Zealand. And it's pretty straightforward. If you look at the patterns, if you investigate for more than 2 minutes, or at least listen to somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about and has actually had their head buried in these documents like Penny Bright has for 10 years, you know? You look up to these people as if they're crazy conspiracy theorists, but the thing that makes them appear crazy is that they know something, and they know it very well, that appears to you as crazy talk because you've been told and believe to the contrary the whole time, and you're not prepared to brave the disillusionment that's necessary to corrupt your mind, or rather de-corrupt your mind in that fashion. Many of the things people are worried about and protested about are not issues to do with Len Brown's style of politics. The Brown-esque design, you know. National Enact wanted rates in Auckland to be unified and not set by area, and that means some areas of Auckland have seen rates increase by fiat rather than dastardly Brown-esque design. Even though Brown promised everybody that the rates would not increase beyond the rate of inflation. What he didn't tell the public is that it's legal and normal common practice for the council to make up their own rate of inflation. In some places, you've got people doubling the amount of rates that they pay. You're having people who are retired, who are being forced to leave beach communities like Raglan, who's just down the line here, as a result of similar effects, right? Regionalisation, raise the tax out of everybody, get all these people the hell out of their homes, and let the land go back to nature if it can. Just cluster everybody into the cities and egg crates, you know? That'll be nice. That'll be brilliant. That'll be Soylent Brown, won't it? The march. I arrived at the bottom of Queen Street at 10 to 12 and found about 50, maybe more, people milling around Will Ryan. I love the word milling, you know. It just kind of characterizes the whole thing as if for some reason, not liking corruption, broad-scale theft and corporate takeover of billions of dollars of public assets was zero accountability. You know, we're just sheep, mate, you know.
We want actual rights and freedoms and not be parasited upon by some cancerous worm.
And this is where it gets interesting in the article. Again. Given that Will Ryan knows my face, I ducked into the mall and looked at stationery. Oh, you know. He's like, he thinks he's a secret agent, you know. But you actually do have to be like that if you don't want to be spotted by Will. He got eagle eye vision, man. He's like the bionic libertarian. He spots you out of a crowd, you know. Oh my god. It was at that point that public addresses Russell Brown asked for pics of the crowd, and public addresses Russell Brown is a radio show, I believe. And I remember one time we were doing there some cannabis activism, and I passed him a joint at a big political television thing that was being thing, and he smoked it. Yep, and he passed it on. Yep. But I got kicked out with my camera. It's great getting footage of people kicking you out of places on a camera. It's like, yeah, I can relive that without actually getting shoved again. Okay. And again, and then things got a bit weirder. Given that I am a diligent servant of the people, in brackets, even if I do seek the destruction of the people as a whole, yeah, I'm convinced that he's joking now, but the problem is, many a truth is said in jest, and it's kind of insulting. You know? Because what he's doing is he's gripping everybody who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power to maintain or grow that influence, believe that anybody who thinks that they're crazy is in fact directly involved with and agrees with the overall depopulation global agenda. Okay? No. For the most part, people who criticize people like us are people that just don't believe it. And there's a splinter there where it goes, not only do I not believe it because I think it's fantastical, but I'm going to refuse to believe it. That's the interesting part right there. Not that you don't believe it because it sounds like crazy, but because you refuse to believe it because you think it sounds crazy. Yeah, that's one of the interesting things. I'm not sure what you can do to change a mind like that. Maybe, you know, it all just comes down to trauma, really. If you haven't had cops make up lies about you in order to get you arrested in handcuffs and chuck you in the cell for a couple of hours, maybe even 48 hours, and hogtied naked without food or water over the weekend for something they made up, you're likely to be able to, you know, sort of tolerate things that happen in society without kind of raising an eyebrow and just go, this hasn't happened to me. You know, it comes down to the amount of trauma you have, and it's almost directly linked to the amount of empathy you can feel. Unless, of course, you have so much of it that you turn into one of the psychopathic abusers yourself, which I think every traumatized person has the potential to. You ever notice that? People who've gone through a lot sometimes become sort of crazy, maybe predatory. Happens a lot in the truth movement, man. Really. Not passing any judgment or naming any names. Given that I'm a diligent servant of the people, what does Matthew Denteith know about being a diligent servant of the people? You wrote a thesis about conspiracy theories and basically wash over the whole thing and say it makes us feel comfortable that we know that there's a particular group of scumbags that are running it all. That doesn't make any fucking body feel comfortable, bro. What planet are you living on? These all-powerful scumbags who could just fuck your life up just like that? And we make that conclusion up because it makes us feel happy that someone's in control? That's preposterous. Oh, my God. Goes on to say, I braved the crowd once more, only to find that in the 5 minutes I'd been gone, the number of people in attendance had tripled, maybe quadrupled. He seemed very surprised by this, that, you know, surprised people are turning up against corruption. And, you know, actually, it would be surprising to see a large people standing up against corruption. I scarcely believe it could happen. The mix of protesters was mostly skewed towards white people in their 40s or 50s, which are incidentally the kind of people who'd been born as the baby boomer generation, worked in a time where houses cost you like maybe 18 or 60 grand or something that you could pay off in just a couple of years. So they're the only people who actually own houses in the frickin' city anymore. Anybody who's come here after the 60s and 70s, chances of you getting a home of your own, pretty frickin' slim, Jim. So, you know, it's like, it's a racial thing, okay? Now, isn't it interesting how racists accuse other people of being racist? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? They look at everything in terms of race. So as soon as they see a group of white people together coming out that are protesting somebody who happens to be another white guy, Lynn Brown is, they go, just mention it like just on the slide, to sort of like plant that seed with you, you know, with a scattering of people who were slightly younger or older. A collection bucket was going around, as Vinnie Eastwood ominously and deceptively suggested through his megaphone, free speech isn't free. And this is that was actually said after the protest, when we also illuminated the crowd to the fact that just having a permit for your free speech to protest down the street is $500. $500, that's what the council charged us. And so I can raise money pretty well when I need to, especially if it's for a worthy cause. And raising money for free speech, I can think of no greater cause than the cause of irony. So I said that I very greatly appreciate all of you for coming out today and exposing the corruption of Len Brown and letting your voices be heard. But unfortunately, more of you is required, because free speech is not free. Because this protest cost the organizers $500 to put on, not to mention all the other costs associated with, not to mention how much time they put into it. And if you would be willing to help us at least pay for the protest, go and see the people with the buckets out there. Okay, that's what I said. And this gets translated to it somehow being before the protest began. That I'm ominously and deceptively suggesting that free speech isn't free. How is it deceptive when I've got the document in my hand? I've actually got the bill. I'm holding the bill. This is how much free speech fucking cost us. And I ain't even wanted to, given the organisers, and also love the lack of grammar. What is it about people who are grammar Nazis? You know, I'm not generally a grammar Nazi, but if somebody's dissing me, suddenly I've become one. Have you ever noticed that? Have a see, everybody. What he meant to say is, and I neither wanted to give the organisers money, nor wanted to explain why I didn't want to give them money. And he says given, instead of give. Just a little editing technique for you, Matthew, if you're listening. Anyway, what I really desired was some video footage. So I crossed the road, pulled my camera out, and began to record. Yep, and it did record. There was like a two-minute video of just the protest, you know, pulling out. And some dude in the... It's quite funny. Big banner that says, Len Brown, stand down. And this one dude like jumps right into the frame, right as you can just about to see the banner, and then kind of like blocks it out a bit, so you can't really see it. And Matthew doesn't move or anything like that to try and get a better shot. He just sits there, standing, holding it still and freeze like for two minutes like a statuette. It's quite... but again, he's probably just afraid of being filmed. It's like he's going covert. Now, isn't it interesting how somebody who denies that there's any form of conspiracy that exists, I'm of course blowing that way out of proportion and in doing so inaccurately just for a hyperbolic sense of comedy, Matthew, don't take it personally, acts in a conspiratorial way to conceal their efforts so they can write this garbage afterwards. No offense, but you'd be crazy if you could see the irony here. It took a while for the protesters to get into the festive mood. Chanting for the elderly middle classes isn't obvious, not a natural skill. Is obviously not a natural skill, I think, is what he meant to say. It's just littered with these little gems. Man, we're coming almost to the end of the broadcast. And I'm just ranting to go through the end of it. One of the things that really frustrated me about this piece, I think it was actually the characterization of Russell Malcolm and Penny Bright, actually. So I just want to do that, because he came out with these descriptions for everybody at the protest. This is Penny Bright. I find Penny Bright confusing, mostly because people call her left wing. She's not really any wing, but rather a political centrist who supports a whole lot of disparate causes. Her protest against the mayor was couched entirely in terms of potential corruption by the mayor with respect to the Sky City Convention Centre deal. And if you knew anything about Penny, it wasn't just that, because you could talk to Penny for a decade and still be learning stuff after it. I have been, trust me, I know. You would be amazed at the stuff that Penny Bright knows. Pennybrightformayor.org.nz if you want to vote for her in this upcoming election, because god damn it, we need a candidate that actually knows and isn't blinded
by the scumbaggery. She could see it. I have never seen a woman with this much tenacity. All right? I haven't seen tenacity in any kind of like female organism other than a Kodiak bear protecting its cubs. That's how she goes after corruption. With her claws and her teeth, with her... Mate. Something to behold. A lot of respect for Penny. A lot of it. And the other one was about Russell Malcolm. Russell Malcolm is one of Vinnie Eastwood's pet projects. And pet projects? That is like... That really incensed me, man. You know what Russell did? He wrote a 52-page dossier about the things that the council had done to him, including getting arrested on no charge and having his bail conditions being dictated over the phone by the Prime Minister himself in the middle of the night, exposing a grand scheme of corruption and bribes that was going on at the same time that this super city was being set up. And he was hushed, he had his business closed down, he was arrested at his own dinner party in his own house in front of his guests. Held without charge, you know, that kind of thing. Has internet cut off, had people surveilling him up to wazoo, and then after the election happened and people elected John Key, was all over Rover. And he'd done this 10 years previously, where he got the entire Rodney District Council fired, including the mayor, because he exposed a big seat of corruption. They were afraid that it would happen again. They were afraid that it would make the super city look bad. They were afraid that it might affect the outcome of the election, so they screwed him. He was so traumatized. He used to be a ballroom dancer, and he can't dance anymore. He used to run a business, a really successful one, going head-to-head with the real estate companies. And he can't even open mail anymore because he's so traumatized from all the letters and all this crap that these people are sending at him. And he wrote a 52-page dossier, and I felt the moral obligation to get him to sit down in front of a camera with a microphone and record it. And then I spent 3 nights consecutively staying up all fucking night editing all of that. Total of like 6 or 7 hours footage down into like 3 hours and 20, cutting out all the possible little pauses, the ums, the ahs, and the mistakes and everything. He was just a machine, just reading it out and then taking a little kind of like second to recover and everything. And it's just, I did that not as somebody, you know, pet project. I did that because I saw a really good man in pain. And I considered myself a good man, and I have been in pain. And I couldn't consider myself a good man anymore if I saw him go through that and did nothing to help him, when I know that I was the only person in the fucking country who would do that for him. That's not a pet project. That's called a way of life, Mr. Denteith. And I do take it very seriously. And there's a reason why I help people. Is because nobody else will, a lot of the time. You've been listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for doing so at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Please remember, this is a listener-supported broadcast, so if you'd like to have a laugh and get angry at real pathetic scumbags, go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and start up a regular gifting today of a couple of dollars a month just to keep all the bills paid. And also, support American Freedom Radio on the homepage, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll see you again sometime.